The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast.
We're back.
We're back.
Happy
2022.
It is the new year, and we are still doing this, and we are still in season 13, and Grey's Anatomy is still continuing, which we'll talk about soon. So,
yeah,
this is your constant. If you feel like life is changing too much, let us be your constant.
Well, yeah, and you know how Grey's Anatomy takes like a mid-season break? That's what we did, and it was actually literally the mid-season break with the episode. So it kind of worked out perfectly, even though I don't know that we meant to do that.
No, it was great. And I feel like we got through the holidays sort of unscathed.
Sort of. We'll get into that.
But just real quick, if this is your first time listening, we are a Grey's Anatomy podcast that deep dives all of the episodes. We're currently in season 13, episode 11 and 12. So if this is your first time listening, we highly recommend going back, starting at our pilot and working your way forwards. Once in a while, we do also podcast about like the current season. So just make sure you check out episode titles. And if you want some more information about the podcast or you want to support us, you can go to our Patreon, which is www.patreon.com/theoncallroom.
And
what else can you do there? I don't know.
You can be an intern, you can be a resident, you can be an attending, and you can donate to the podcast, and it helps us put this out so you can get content, and then you can get extra bonus content. You can hang out with us on Zoom calls. You can call our Google Voice number. Lots of really great things. You can be a part of our Facebook group. So head there. And follow us on Instagram at The On-Call Room Pod, and leave us a 5-scalpel review, please, wherever you listen on. We would really appreciate it. Also, just letting you know, because we have gotten reviews about this, we are a spoilers podcast. So we are going to talk about all things Grey's Anatomy. Doesn't matter that we're in season 13. We could reference something from the current season. So if you haven't watched all of Grey's, be warned.
Yes. And I'm just looking too. It looks like our last episode that we put out was December 7th. So it's been a while.
Oh, so yeah, it's been like a month. When this is released, it will probably be what, like a month and a half since?
Yeah, I also feel like we need to preface, because we never say this, and who knows if people who listen for the first time see this, but if you go back and you go to listen to our pilot, I just want you to know that that aired March 28th, 2017. So if you're like, these girls need to learn some things, don't worry, we do. You just have to stick with us.
We're coming up on 5 years.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's half a decade.
I know. This is like the longest project I think I've ever worked on.
Holy shit.
Have you worked at the same job for 5 years? Oh, yeah, you have at your current job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's weird to think about. My God.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could get it. We have a college degree in Grey's, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. We have a bachelor's of arts in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, it's really wild. And so we are thankful to all of you.
I would say we have an associate's of arts in Grey's Anatomy.
I think so too. I think it's only an associate's. And I would just say too, like seriously, thank you to everyone that listens and to those of you who sent really great messages to us over the holidays.
Yeah.
We Literally the only reason we do this still, I think, is because we love each other and we are really thankful for the community you guys have made, and we're doing it for you. Yes. At this point, like, season 13 and on of Grey's is not my favorites as much as the others. So we're doing it because we love you so much, and we love this little, like, weird interest group we've created that is curated based on our likes.
Yes, which makes us just really love everyone who's a part of it, because yes, you all like similar things that we do. But we do have people who have disagreements too, which we love, and we welcome your opinions. So yeah.
How about a little Grey's news? Should we just say that quick, or should we? Okay, just real quick to start it off, and then we'll talk about ourselves. If you didn't know already, today is Monday, January 10th, and it was announced that Grey's Anatomy gets early renewal for season 19, and Ellen Pompeo will be returning as Meredith Grey. Remember last year?
I can't believe it.
I know. I mean, I can. But last year there was a lot. It took a while to get that announcement because Ellen was in
negotiations.
Negotiations, yes. And so those must have been done very quickly. Yes. Also, she is being bumped to executive producer instead of just co-executive producer.
Wow.
I'm sure she's getting a pay raise, which good for her. And James Pickens Jr., who plays Richard, and Chandra Wilson, who plays Bailey, are also returning as well. It's still the top rated ABC show in the age 18 to 49 demographic. Station 19 hasn't been announced yet, but they like expect it to be. And also, I'm pretty sure that I didn't know this, I guess, but like Scott Speedman is a series regular. Like, he's not just like a guest anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What about Amelia's love interest? I'm sorry, I can't remember their name.
Yes, I saw that too. It didn't say anything about next season, but it did just mention them and that they were like going to be on this time. So okay. Shonda did a statement about how it was a really weird statement. It was something like, oh, okay. Not weird. She said that, she said Rhymes in a Variety cover story in November. So this wasn't in November, but delved into the long-running show's legacy. She said that while she wished the show would be thought of for how it inspired so many young women to become doctors, she was clear-eyed about how Grey's Anatomy is viewed as a revolutionary moment for inclusiveness on television. And in quotes, sadly, I think the legacy might simply just be that we made it possible for more people of color to have jobs on camera in television, Rhymes said, in quotes, which makes me embarrassed for television. Rhymes added that the show's longevity is inspiring to her. I have a 19-year-old who is in college right now, and when that 19-year-old was strapped to my chest as a baby, I wrote a show, and that show is still on the air. So, whoa. Yeah, crazy.
That's wild to think that. Wow, holy smokes!
Yeah, I'm I knew at this point they weren't going to like end the show with this season just because they haven't announced it. And I assume that when it's a final season, there's going to be like a lot of hype about it. Mm-hmm. But I just like, I'm ready.
Well, I just want, and everyone knows we're ready. We've been saying that, I feel like, since we started this podcast. But I feel like 19 is also a weird season to end on. So I feel like they're going to go to 20. Like, it would have been one thing if we ended on 18, but now 19 just seems like a really, like, not the right number. So I bet we have two more seasons. I bet they end on 20.
But then it talks about how, like, I mean, Grey's makes the network so much money. Like, why would they stop?
I don't know. And if, I mean, okay, so if you were Ellen Pompeo and a network, you've been on this show. I mean, she's talked about, like, this is her lifelong career. Like, she's already said before, like,
she's not going to act in anything else.
Right. This is my character and this is who I am. And I've just, you know, I can pay the bills more than bills. And, like, the network kept giving you money and, like, giving you promotion. So now she's executive producer. I mean, would you end it? Would you give a shit about the quality of the show? Or would you just
probably
be like,
not at all.
No, be like, fuck yeah. Okay, you're going to give me more money and more credits on the role at the end. Like, whatever. I don't fucking care.
Yeah, I mean, her job is so cush, too. I mean, not that she's not working hard. I guarantee you she's working hard, but, like, it's in her home of LA. Like, I doubt she ever has to travel for things. She gets such a good say in it that I agree with you. And I don't know why she would ever end it. Also, to that statement that Shonda Rhimes made, like, I know that Ellen Pompeo is really, like, an advocate for inclusiveness in television. So maybe she also feels a sense of, like, because of this show continuing on, all of these people have jobs. And if I were to end it just because I'm done, like, that's the loss of a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
So
that's true too.
I don't think they really care about us.
No, I don't think they care about us at all. Clearly they don't, because the writing is been
so
garbage
bad.
this season and the past couple seasons. I don't know. Maybe rewatching it by the time we get to it will make us feel differently about these seasons, but it just feels like it's lost so much of its like warmth of like our the love of our characters. Like, I just don't feel that anymore. Feels really like stark and weird and like not Grey's Anatomy to me anymore.
Yeah, even like which these two episodes we're going to talk about today are not like my favorites by any means. Like, I was kind of like, okay, watching these, but like, and I know Joe Wilson has gone through a lot, and it like, not, I don't want to say she's the same person, because obviously she's not. Like, Alex leaves her, her husband comes back, you know, her ex-husband, like all these things happen. But like, I almost feel like when I think about her character, one of the ones that's still in the show, like they're not the same people. Like, there's just nothing, even Meredith seems different. So it's just like, it's hard. I don't know. It's like, we've been watching it too long, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, we just wanted to make sure y'all knew that if you don't look at the news or the Facebook group.
Yeah. Is Peter Gallagher coming back next season?
They didn't say anything about next season.
I watched an episode of The OC the other day, and wow.
Ooh.
Wow. Just wow.
And that's I never all watched that show all the way through.
I know you didn't, and I think I stopped watching after Marissa. Okay, if you haven't watched The OC by now, I don't care if I spoil you. After Marissa dies, I was like,
I knew that. I've seen the SNL skit.
Yeah, so I stopped watching after that. But it was this weird feeling that it like brought back to me. Okay, couple things. Number one, it brought back feelings of like, remember when you were like in high school, early high school, maybe even, I don't know if this was middle school. I don't think it was. I think I was watching this in high school. That like feeling of like having a crush on a celebrity where you had... like you daydreamed about like what I remember like looking up how old Ryan was in real life and being like, I wonder if we like were not that far apart, which we were. He was like 27 or something, I feel like, when he was making this. And being like, I wonder if like we ran into each other, like if he'd be into me.
I'm sure like, he would.
It's like those TikToks or those like memes of people going to like concerts in like middle school and being like, this is how I dressed for like the Jonas Brothers concert. And I swore that if Joe Jonas saw me, like he'd fall in love with me.
Yes.
It's like this terrible outfit. Yeah. So I had that feeling of like, oh, like kind of like butterfly. And then also I thought about how it's so nice having like streaming, because back in the day, if you got into a show and later in a season, so I didn't watch season one, like you couldn't go back and watch it. So you had to buy the DVD box set, or I guess you could like rent it from Best Buy.
Blockbuster.
But it was just easier if you had a mother or father who would buy it for you, because you wouldn't have to go back every day and return one.
Oh yeah,
disc.
I watched the first few seasons of Lost by renting the DVDs, and there's only like, you know, 4 episodes on a DVD because they don't let you rent the whole season at once.
Right.
And then it would be the worst when you'd like go to return it and that next disc wasn't available. It was just like, I mean, that's how I watched Grey's. The first 3 seasons of Grey's was from renting it from my dorm rental built like little thing.
Yeah, it just, I don't know. I just thought about that and it cracked me up about like, I remember like Christmas, it was a big deal because you get like box sets at yes. Christmas. And I remember I got the OC season 1 and 2 because I had watched the full second season, but wasn't able to watch the first season. And so I went back and watched it and I was like, wow, what a different time we lived in. And now
I closed a lot of gaps for you when you were watching it.
Yeah. And now I can just like go on Hulu and watch, you know, a show yeah. from 10 years ago or 15. Oh,
well,
God,
that's also,
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I know. The options are endless. You could only watch what was on. Like how yeah. limiting. Also, that's because we spent so much less time watching TV also. I was laughing thinking about that meme that you shared with me, where it was like, ready to start a season, the next season of a show, but I watched the previous one 2 years ago in one day, and I can't remember what happens. And that's how I feel about Ozark is coming back, I think, at the end yeah. of the month or something. And I binged Ozark so fast that I'm like, I don't know what, I couldn't tell you what happened.
Yeah, I forgot about that show. I started it and then stopped it. I need to get back into it. But like, yeah, and the person's face is like super confused, like trying to understand yes. what the fuck is going on in the show. But especially like, okay, I have done it with like when I knew Handmaid's Tale was coming back out, I like rewatched like 2 seasons, like when uh-huh. the third came out. I was like, okay, this is the date. There's 10 episodes in each thing. But when it's a show like Grey's Anatomy or something, or, you know, like Ozark, what are they, season 5 now? Like, you can't fucking yeah. rewatch all that shit. And then right, when right. the new season comes out. So you just have to like trust that you'll figure it out, but you can't figure it out. And
I yeah. watched Emily in Paris season 2, which I did also watch the first season in one day, like just like straight up, like kind of like multitasking, but you know, whatever. And I started the second one. It took 2.5 episodes for me to be like, what's happening? Like I have no, which like there's not much plot in that show anyways, but it's just, but okay, wait, to segue into our personal lives really fast. And I don't want to harp on this for too long because I feel like we have some other things to talk about, but I restarted Downton Abbey, which okay. Back when it was on, I watched seasons 1 through 3, like as they came out, like I'd watch them on the BBC.com. You know what I mean? Like however I got it, I definitely watched those. And I kind of want to be like, if you haven't watched Downton Abbey, skip ahead like a minute maybe. But like after Matthew dies in season 3, I stopped watching because I was furious. Like I was so mad. And so then I like never watched it again, but now I'm in it and wow, I just love it so much. But is it still good after season 3? Because I'm afraid that I'm going to like not like it as much.
No, I think it's great. I mean, I loved it. I never watched the movie. I tried to, everyone told me it was super boring. But I thought all the way through all of the seasons was great. I loved all of Downton Abbey. It's a show I rewatch often, or like will randomly put like an episode on because I really yeah. love that show.
The music is so good too. Like the intro music I could listen yeah. to. Like, why didn't I walk down the aisle to that? I have thoughts.
That's really funny because my sister-in-law wanted to walk down the aisle to that music.
It's just so good. And then I also have been texting Brie a lot about it. And my last thing I want to say for our Harry Potter fans is that I have done so much Google searching and have found Reddit threads. The guy that plays Thomas, I need to look up his name, but he reminds me and his character is so similar to the version of Tom Riddle in the movies that asks Professor Slughorn like about Horcruxes and is like, Professor Slughorn. And is like, kind of like very like timid. Like you can tell he's trying to get something out of this person. It's like the character to me, I cannot separate them. Like Thomas is young Voldemort and like, even like the acts he does, it all checks out. So I just wanted to know if anyone feels that way as well. Please DM me. I need to know I'm not alone.
Well, I mean, you'll just have to wait to see what happens with the character. Does he follow Voldemort's path? Or
well,
does
he
take
just
his
cry.
Own?
He did just cry when someone died that I don't want to say. So I was like, okay, so he does have a heart.
He does have a heart, yeah. I'll be interested for you to keep watching what happens with him.
Great. What's new in your world before we...
Oh, well, I've watched a lot of TV because me and my husband and my whole family got COVID over Christmas. So everyone's fine, thank goodness. Really grateful. Mm-hmm. That, but like both John's family and my family. So we had a great holiday, like Christmas. We had Christmas Eve at our house. We hosted, and then Christmas morning, we had John's family over, and then we went to my parents' Christmas Day, and we made sure to test. We all tested before Christmas Eve. All of us were negative. Hooray, hooray. And we all see each other, and then Sunday rolls around. So that was the day after Christmas. And I remember John and I were laying on the couch, and I was like, wow, I must have really worked hard. Like, my body hurts so bad today. This is crazy. And then as time like kept going on, I was like, these are more than like muscle aches of like doing dishes in the kitchen. Like, I feel not great. And I had also woke up that morning with a little bit of a sore throat. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, yeah. I'm getting a cold. Like, finally, my body is like, oh, holidays are over. And then I was like, wow, it's just so weird. And so I was like, I'm a little cold too. And John was like, well, I'm saying all these things. And obviously John's looking at me like, these are not good things. So he feels my forehead and he's like, you actually feel really warm. And mm-hmm. I was like, uh-oh. And I was like, can you go get the thermometer? And I had a fever. And I will just say that I can't remember the last time I had a fever. I was probably 12. Like, I literally can't remember the last. So I just don't get fevers. So I immediately was like, I have fucking COVID. Like, there's no, I have body aches. I had a sore throat. COVID's running rampant. And yeah. I have a fever, which I never have. Luckily, I have a friend who had one leftover at home test. And I texted my boss. I was like, hey, I have a fever. So like, regardless, I probably shouldn't come to work tomorrow because like, I won't have been fever free for 24 hours, like whatever I have. But John went, she set the kit outside and she went out. John picked up this at home kit. And you know, those like 15 minutes you wait are just like pure hell with like an hour. Uh-huh. Just like, but I just knew.
Yeah.
And then, after 15 minutes, it was positive. So it sucked because we had just seen all of these people. So yes. I had to call all these people and say, hi, everyone. I tested positive for COVID. And then we all just started dropping like flies. Like, everyone started testing positive for COVID. I'm not saying I was the first one to test positive, but I don't know that I was necessarily like patient zero. Whatever, it doesn't matter. We all ended up being okay. I'm really, just like super grateful for that. But but then it was like the other funny thing, and Abby knows this, is like the minute I test positive for COVID is when the CDC decided you only had to quarantine for 5 days. And I was like, absolutely not. I am quarantining for 10. Like, I am not, this is not fair. So, and honestly, I didn't feel good. I still had a lot of symptoms after 5 days. So like it was fine anyway. And my boss was super understanding, but I was like, I will not be this round of people that has to go back to
only
work.
Only misses a few days of work. Yeah.
Fuck that.
But we're glad you're okay. And I have not seen you since.
Oh my God, we haven't.
Was it since the little girl get together we had?
Yeah, it was because then,
that was December 22nd.
We haven't seen each other since, because then I quarantined. We FaceTimed on New Year's Eve.
Right.
Which was really nice.
We were supposed to be together.
We were supposed to be together, but we couldn't. And I was feeling like okay to FaceTime. Don't worry, I was in bed before midnight on New Year's Eve. And then, we didn't see each other this weekend. I was busy we were just busy. Wow. And then Abby was supposed to come over and record today, but then she texted me, it's just so cold. Can we record from our own homes? Which I totally understand. So,
I also have an early morning tomorrow, and I knew if I'd come to your house, I'd drink wine and then like maybe drink another glass when I got home. And so I was like, if I do this by myself, then I won't.
I get it.
But I asked Bri, I was like, can we hang out not with the podcast? So hopefully that's in our future, listeners.
I would hope so. Yeah.
But Bri survived COVID. We both survived the holidays.
We've both had COVID now before.
We have. Mine was back in 2020 though.
Yeah.
So I feel like I love those, all those memes. I don't love anything about COVID, but the memes that are of like the people who haven't gotten it yet. And it's like,
dodging all this shit.
Yeah. It feels like you're in dodgeball and like everyone has been called except you, like the name wise. And I'm like, yes, like that. Yeah. So,
or like it's like Super Mario Brothers one where they're like dodging all these different things. Like that is literally, well, that's what it felt like before the holidays. And I was like, I can't believe we did it. We all tested negative. Like, we made it through Christmas. And, like, literally the day after Christmas,
day after.
My body was like, fuck you. You're exhausted. Viral load coming in hot. You have COVID. It's wild.
It's just a lot.
I got to watch a lot of TV. And then by the end, we kind of had, like, a setback. We were doing really shitty. And then we like, you know, you start to get better. But then we had like one of those, like on Sunday, I was like, wow, I feel like pretty good. But I have like a couple more days to quarantine. Mm-hmm. And so that Sunday I played a bunch of video games, which was like, why haven't I been doing this the whole time? This is dope, like playing video games. But then Monday I woke up and I felt like shit. And so I didn't know if it was the video games that made me feel bad or if it was just the COVID, probably the COVID. So
back to TV watching you went.
Yes. Yeah. So maybe on a different podcast, I will go through all of the different things that I watched while I had COVID. But we should probably talk about some episodes.
Yeah. Holy shit. It's been 25 minutes. So thanks for listening. And again, just a reminder, we're talking about season 13, episode 11 and 12, Jukebox Hero and None of Your Business. I'll read the first one.
Great.
I almost wanted to be like, all right, everyone, turn your pages to episode 13 or season 13. Okay, so this one is by Meredith Gray. It says, we all have heroes, people we look up to, people we aspire to be, who teach us how to be greater than we are because they are greater than we are. They're great if we don't look too closely, because if we get too close, we realize heroes are just regular people and regular people can fail us. Our heroes aren't special. They're just people. They're like us. They're just trying to survive. They're trying to be happy, trying to do better, be better, feel better. Heroes aren't more special, more courageous than the rest of us. After all, they're only human. They hurt, they break, they bleed. But sometimes, every once in a while, when it matters, they get it right. And that changes everything. A hero is only human, but that's the point. If they can do it, so can you. So you keep going, you don't give up, you stand tall, you fight, you always show up to save the day. Meredith Gray.
I feel like that monologue is like...
it's so repetitive.
I was also, super repetitive. And I was going to say it was also like 12 other monologues in Grey's Anatomy. Like that exact monologue. I don't know why. The second one's very short. Abby didn't want me to read that much, so she gave me the super short one.
I did not do any. I was trying to take the load off for you.
It says, everybody wants privacy for themselves. For other people, not so much. We have to keep something to ourselves or else anyone can get to us. They'll see the stuff we don't show anyone. So we build the walls high and wide and we lock the gates. Joe Wilson. So
you
short.
Did great.
Thank you.
Shotgun workup. Want to just alternate?
Sure.
We have Mindy Wallace, pregnancy, pelvic fracture, bilateral hip dislocations, and grade 2 splenic laceration.
Then we have Brian Wallace, closed head trauma, facial lacerations.
Tyler Hempill, facial degloving.
Gross. Garth Jones, arm injury, broken ribs, collapsed lung.
Baby Wallace, diaphragmatic hernia.
Diane Pierce, inflammatory breast cancer.
Annie Banks, lacerations, hypothermia, gangrene.
And then Owen Hunt, lacerations. The one thing we forgot to mention is post-op for tonight. The topic we're going to be talking about is the car accident in episode 11. So that will not be part of our rounds in this first part. If you want to hear about that, you can head to Patreon and be a $10 patron.
Yes. So, rounds, here we go. We have Meredith searches 3 counties and 4 jails to find Alex and is unsuccessful. When she comes home after her day of searching, she finds him sleeping in her bedroom. DeLuca went to Alex when he heard that he was going to take the plea and he dropped the charges or threatened to botch the whole case. Alex then goes to Bailey and gets his job back. He also apologizes to DeLuca, who gets frustrated with him, saying that he could have done this at any time. The only reason that DeLuca dropped the charges was because he didn't want Joe to go through any more pain. When Joe finds out that Alex is not in jail, she goes to see him at Meredith's and gives him a very emotional hug and then walks away.
Then we have Amelia staying at Stephanie's house, and Stephanie has to lie to Owen about where she is. Owen worries all day that she is perhaps not sober, but at the end of the day, Stephanie tells him that she is safe and that she is not drinking. Owen tells her to tell her to come home.
I know.
But Amelia doesn't want to come home because she knows Owen will try to fix the problem. Owen continues to come to the door and talk to Amelia, saying that she needs to be the one to come out of hiding. He also tells Stephanie to tell Amelia that he won't be here forever.
Then we have, on Minnick's first day, Weber and many of the attendings do their best to mess up the OR board and keep her out of the operating rooms. This works up until a moment, and Minnick realizes what they are doing. At the end of the day, when she calls a meeting, no one shows up. Richard comes, and Bailey talks to him, and they argue about this decision. Both of them make the point that it is bigger than just the two of them and that they have people who are on their side. When Gray refuses to have Minnick in her OR, Bailey suspends her to send a message. Everyone is upset about the suspension, and at the end of the episode, we find out that Bailey has also chosen Kepner to be the interim chief of general surgery. During this time, Catherine also came to visit and made it clear to Richard that she sides with Bailey, although she hasn't fully confessed her involvement yet. Minnick also tells Arizona that if she gets fired, it would terrify Arizona because then she would have no excuse not to date her. Then she says, screw you, so I'm confused how she feels. We will talk about it.
All right. And then finally, we have Maggie's mom makes a surprise visit to Seattle and embarrasses her in front of all of her friends. She says she is here to see Jackson for a plastics consult. In the consult, she removes her shirt and asks if he can remove something, which is a red area of skin. Jackson takes it to get biopsied and turns out to be inflammatory breast cancer, which is very dangerous. Although Maggie's mom and Maggie were going to have dinner with Richard, she cancels it to have dinner at home with Maggie and Jackson so she can tell her about the diagnosis. However, Maggie gets mad at her mom for leaving her dad, moving to Hawaii to make soap, and accuses her of being selfish. This fight leads Maggie's mom to leave and go home without telling Maggie about the diagnosis.
Alrighty, first notes.
I kind of have two. I said they are looking for an arraignment number, and then I said the case is closed, 30 years to life. Oh, Art Wahlberg. So, really great.
Mine is that looking, so the shot like shows Meredith's backyard and then pans into the house. And uh-huh. I was like, this is not the same house as current seasons. Like the way that it's laid out, It's impossible that it's the house that they now film at, which obviously it's TV. But I just think it's like, we haven't really seen that view of it before.
I don't really remember that part. I'll have to go back and look. Do we see the backyard?
It like comes from the backyard in. And first of all, like, you know how their backyard now looks like San Diego always? Like it's like sunny and like this is like very like dark, rainy. I don't know. It just looks totally different. It doesn't make sense. Huh.
No, nothing about the set makes sense at all.
No. Also, okay, question. Maybe we can talk about the Minnick thing because it's just like, ugh.
Okay.
So, also, what I want to say about it too is like, you know, like with this Alex storyline that there was like so much buildup, what's going to happen? Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, we dropped the charges. Now we're moving on. I feel mm-hmm. like with this Minnick thing, it's like, wow, it's going to be such a pain. The whole system's being shifted. And then it's going to be like, just kidding. Like, it feels like, maybe because we know how it ends, but it just doesn't feel like there's high stakes.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I don't really remember how it ends.
I don't either, but clearly she doesn't stay. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I guess I just know that. So it's like, get on with it already.
Yeah.
But my question.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. My question is, Richard makes the statement. He says, there's also this dumb analogy these whole episodes where he's like, we need to fight. We need to be mm-hmm. smart, strategic, organized. And he's like, I mean, think about Yorktown. And then I was like, had Hamilton come out yet? Was my question.
The Battle of Yorktown.
Yeah, because like, obviously that's a historic thing that some people know about, but I don't feel like I didn't know much about Yorktown until Hamilton. So, okay, let's see. Season 13 was in 2016. So yes, Hamilton was out. 'Cause I feel like they would reference that because like the writers liked Hamilton. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was weird. I just typed in, when did Hamilton come out? And it said July 3rd, 2020.
I just looked at that too.
I was like, that is not true. Like, I don't know what this is, but.
It was August 2015. The date you're looking at is when it got put on Disney Plus.
Yeah, right. But
yeah, so it had just come out. So that makes sense to me. I feel like that Battle of Yorktown statement is like trying to be culturally like relevant. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Instead of like the historic, like it's more referencing the musical than it is referencing the actual Battle of Yorktown. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. Like I just, this felt like cheesy writing to me in this whole like Richard being like, I did some recon. Like I'm doing this. Like they're being so secretive. It just, it doesn't seem like real.
Yeah. Yeah, it's and like lines like the battle has begun, and I don't know. I feel like we should talk about, so like everyone's on, all the attendings, it feels like, are on Richard's side. Mm-hmm. I don't really understand what the game plan is, but like we're all talking about like there's a plan. They got to be strategic and organized. And then at one point, even they're like, we got to like move forward or something.
I'm like, what is the plan?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like, and I don't remember if we ever find out, but it does seem like we're not letting, like we're blocking Minnick out of all of the ORs. Like,
yes.
And so then Meredith is like the only one to kind of like confront Bailey about it, where everyone else is kind of like blocking Minnick and not dealing with Bailey. And then Bailey ends up suspending Meredith. But Meredith owns the hospital.
Yeah, but I bet that doesn't, I mean, that means like she owns shares and she's probably still whatever, but Bailey's still her superior.
Okay.
You know, so, like, okay. I think because like owners of hospitals don't always work there. You know what I mean? So like they can own a hospital, but like not have any say in like, I don't know.
But I, like, feel I think like Jackson always like pulls shit like that, like because his mom's like whatever owns a big part of the hospital.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like your superior would have the right to suspend you from work. She didn't fire her and she's probably still getting paid and like could still go to board meetings. She just is suspended. I don't know. I guess I don't know the answer, but it feels to me like just because you own something shouldn't like, because Alex owns too, and he obviously got suspended. So I don't know. I don't really answer that question, but I feel like too with Meredith, she, like everyone else kind of avoided Minnick by like their schedule changed or all these things. And Minnick was like, hi, I'm coming into your OR. And Meredith was just like, no.
Like, and she's like, why? Like, you give me an excuse like everyone else has. And she's like, because I don't want you to. Which, like, I think is kind of great. You know, instead of, like, trying to play this weird game, she's just, like, completely direct of, like, no, I don't want you in my OR. So, no, you're not going to.
So it's clear that all the attendings are on Richard's side. The residents are on Minnick's side because it means they get to do more operations. So like for them, it's like this learning curve, which makes sense. What I was confused about. So April is, you know, confronting Catherine about it and is really, I think she's expecting Catherine to be on Richard's side and she's realizing that she's not. I don't think she fully understands that Catherine helped make this happen, but she's gathering that like Catherine does not agree with it. But then Bailey pulls Kepner into the office and asks her to take over. So is April going to change the tune of what she thinks because now she's given this role, or I just don't, you know what I mean?
No, I thought that I don't remember that either. Like, I don't remember her being like a stand-in head of general or whatever, a department head. Yeah, I don't, because like Bailey calls her in and acts all like secretive, like you have a choice to make. Like,
and I guess in that point, April wants to make the choice to take a step up, like take the opportunity.
Right. Or maybe she's doing that
from the inside, like a spy.
Yeah. Like to like help Meredith out somehow, but I don't know. It just, I agree with you that like the writing just seemed kind of cheesy and like, I just don't care about this storyline, I guess is maybe like the biggest part.
And I think that it would be better if there was something that made me like Minnick. And I think that what their goal with the Arizona thing, that's their, you know, be like her likable factor, but that's not working for me. Like her like weird confrontational confidence is not charming to me. I don't even know who had, well, Arizona used to be that way kind of, but like it's not working on me. So like even that part, it's not like I want her and Arizona to get together. So secretly I'm torn about how I feel about her. I just don't like her.
Right. I totally agree. And I think she's super cocky. And I feel like we might've talked about this in a previous episode, but I kind of feel like, doesn't it end somehow that like Minnick ends up fucking up by having a resident probably do something like that they're not ready for or something like.
Yeah, that seems like very probable.
Yeah. I will say like, I did respect that Minnick goes to Bailey and it's like,
same.
No, like no more suspensions. Like, this is not going to be helpful. And I have to get them to like me on their own terms, not by being forced to do this. And I agree. Like, I don't think because I was like watching it. I was like, does everyone end up getting suspended and then they don't have any attendings or something? but that's clearly not how it pans out. But yeah, I can imagine like coming in as Minnick and then like Meredith Grey getting suspended because of me would not benefit.
Look good.
No.
No, and I agree with you. That to me was the only redeeming part of her for me is I was like, yes, like she wants to do this her way, not with like punishment and whatever, because that won't work. So that was like her only redeeming factor for me. And Richard and Catherine clearly are going to have things to talk about, especially because dinner was canceled. So he had no excuse not to talk to Catherine anymore, which I, having it be season 18 and Catherine and Richard are they not even together anymore? I can't even remember. But like, I don't enjoy the episodes where they are fighting because it never feels like they have character growth. It just feels like they have the same fighting dynamic every single time.
Totally. Yeah. And
which I guess is marriage.
but I feel like they're both super strong personalities and both hotheads.
Yes.
And so like, it's the same type of fighting every time. And no one, I feel like, wants to back down or,
right.
Compromise, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. So ready for this part to end. I feel like it's not going to wrap up until the finale, but whatever we're halfway there.
Well, do we know how many more episodes she's in?
I think I looked it up, and I think she's here until the finale.
Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Maybe she gets fired and then her in Arizona date for a while. I really can't remember. That's the beauty of these episodes now is we're really just, like, going in blind.
Yeah, but I want to know how many episodes she's in, which I guess... No. She's published 52 papers in the Journal of Surgical Education, if you needed to know that.
On the right underneath the photo, it'll say when her last episode is. I'm pretty sure it says like first episode, second, and then the final one she's in if you're looking
first
at the Wikipedia page.
Is Why Try to Change Me Now. Yeah, last is Ring of Fire, which I'm pretty sure you're right.
That's the finale.
And there's 11. So she's in 11 episodes. Yeah.
Okay. So I think she's in it till the end.
Yeah.
It's also interesting to see, I'm trying to pay more attention, and maybe this is a good segue into like the next thing we talk about, to Stephanie, especially because this is her last season.
Right.
So obviously Stephanie is a big fan of Minnick because she wants to do as much surgery as possible. And So I'm just like, there's not much going on with her, but I'm wanting to pay attention. So she's like juggling that as well as juggling the things with Amelia, which I don't know if we, did I go too fast? Are we done talking about Minnick? Okay.
Oh no, no, you're fine. We can move on.
So we learned that Amelia left Owen a note and which we knew, but it definitely is, she left him. And at first we don't know where she is. But then we find out that she is at Stephanie's house, which is fun. Okay. We never see Stephanie's house before.
I need a reminder. God, I am a host of this podcast. Why did she leave Owen? I cannot remember. It's been so long.
Because she thought she was pregnant and then wasn't pregnant. And then told Owen about, Owen just wants kids. And she doesn't. She's decided that she doesn't. And she can't, like.
She can't. She's scared and doesn't want to have to go through what she went through again.
Exactly. Yes. Because remember, she told Alex about what happened in the past with her previous pregnancy. And then I think she does tell Owen about it as well.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So.
Got it.
And so, like, rightly so, I feel like Owen is just, like, worried. But yeah, we see Steph's place, which I loved how at first you think Steph is, like, mad that she's there. And then it's like, Steph is just mad that she ate the last yogurt.
And like, yeah, she's like, just go to the store.
Yeah, Amelia was like, I'll go to a hotel. She's like, no, just go to a store.
I love that.
I would also be pissed. Like, if I'm trying to think of like something, like I have this coffee creamer and if like someone used the last bit of it so that I couldn't have any more the next day, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, if someone ate the last pickle, oh my God. Oh my God. I can't.
And so, yeah, she's bringing consult or showing like scans there because Amelia's on a leave. There's really not much that happens other than like we learn that Owen is going and talking to Amelia through the door.
Right.
It was weird, the storyline with the lady and the razor wire or whatever.
Yeah. I thought for a second when they were
it was like a murder.
No.
I thought
that Owen was going to be trapped, like, with that woman. Like, when he, like, is holding her down and, like, the barbed wire gets into him, I thought it was, like, there was going to be, like, the Dun Dun Grays music where it was, like, oh, my God, and then they're connected by barbed wire. Like, but it wasn't that.
I think this is the dark version of me that listens to way too many true crime podcasts. But, like, when that part came in, I had really dark thoughts of like, oh my God, someone wrapped her in this. Like, like I didn't get the fact, I don't understand how you could fall into that and get that tangled. It was literally wrapped around her. So I was like, oh my God, the neighbor found her. Her husband wrapped her in this, like whatever. And I was like, why aren't they more concerned? Like who did this? And then like, I was very disappointed. I have a note in here that was like, yeah, Grace, this is something new and exciting. Like, let's get SVU involved in this. You know what I mean? And then I was like, oh, she literally, like, her storyline was just, like, very boring to me afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, that she just built up a bunch of walls. I mean, was the point of that with Amelia?
Building walls. Yeah. It was, like, way too metaphorical for me.
Yeah. And, like, I guess I get it. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't really care about that storyline. No. It was sad,
but
I guess.
Wouldn't you have if it was like a murder, an attempted murder?
Yes. I would have been very interested if that was the case. I think it is important to note, though, that, and you put it in the rounds, that Owen is saying, though, like, he's not going to wait forever. Like,
right.
He's here and like, you got to be the one to come out, Amelia. And like, I'll be here for you, but I'm not going to be here forever.
When does he go see Teddy?
Oh God. When does he? Cause he goes to Germany, right?
Right. And then Amelia wants to be with him again. You know what I mean? Like, and then Teddy, it's gotta be maybe next season, I guess. Or the one after that. Yeah. I'll look it up.
Goog it.
Let's see. Teddy comes back. I think it's season 14. Yeah.
So next season. Yeah.
Yes. So this makes sense that this is like the demise of Amelia and Amelia and Owen. But then at some point in next season, then isn't Betty going to come in? Or the like,
yeah, you know Betty's what I mean? Coming so, in. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're entering all of that. So him saying like, I'm not going to raid around forever, I feel like actually does check out because he doesn't. He leaves and goes and sees Teddy next season. You know what I mean? So.
Because also, is the kid that they adopt Betty's child?
Yes. Yes.
Right. But then Amelia is not connected to that child at all anymore?
No, I think Amelia... Oh, or yeah, did Owen adopt that child?
Owen does.
And I think like, Owen adopts him when he's single.
Yes.
And then finds out that Teddy is pregnant and it's his.
Yes.
Yes. So anyways, so this is the beginning of all of that, everyone.
So this is... It's so wild to think that it's just, there's
we're so close to that.
Well, yeah, there's just so much more. Like that feels like so new Grey's storyline. Like we're closer to that than we are to George getting hit by a bus.
Right. I know. Now we're just reminiscing about how the fuck are we on season 13?
Like, how did we get here? There's going to be a rapist.
5 years, Brie. 5 years.
That's how we got here. It was 5 years of pure hard work and dedication that we are here recording a fucking podcast right now.
Exactly. Okay, we need to keep moving or this is going to be a long episode about literally nothing.
I don't know. Can we just rate the episode and move
Let's
on?
Real quick. Okay, there's not much to say
about
Alex.
I'm totally kidding. I'm just...
There's not much to say about Alex, though. Like, it literally, the storyline was like, and we're done. Just kidding. No more crime. No more law and order. We are forgiving people.
Well, and okay, so I was like, are they not going to tell us why DeLuca... like chose to do this. And obviously the reason isn't that great because it didn't stick with me because I was like, I literally don't know why DeLuca decided to like drop
because he
charges.
Said for Joe. Oh, you mean you didn't remember
before
watching
he said
it.
That. Yeah. And so I was like, having watched this before, I was like, well, it's obviously not that big of a deal because like, I don't remember it. And again, like it's, I don't know. Like, I feel like it doesn't, like, I guess maybe it does ring true, but I feel like DeLuca doesn't even really know Joe that well.
I know. And it's not like their friendship continues past this. That's why it's, I guess they were showing Joe really struggling in the last few days. But again, I don't feel like it was even DeLuca that noticed it. It was Warren. But in that case, I would say that DeLuca is the only other person that knows about Joe Wilson's ex-husband. And I think it's really just comes down to that, is that if they'd gone to court, it would have gotten out that she is not Joe Wilson and blah, blah, blah. So like that is the reason why, which makes sense that probably next season is when all of that happens with her ex-husband. So it's like bringing that into light.
The other part that really annoyed me was like when Alex apologizes and DeLuca's like, that's all I wanted. Like, why didn't you just talk to me? And I'm pretty sure at one point Alex did try and talk to him and DeLuca freaked the fuck out for good reason. I mean, that was like right when he came to the hospital.
Right.
But then, yeah, obviously, if there were like charges against you, you wouldn't go talk to that person. Like, Alex was doing the right thing.
What he was supposed to do.
Yeah, stay away from DeLuca. Like, don't get him. Like, I'm sure Bailey told him that. The courts told him that. So I didn't understand that either, where DeLuca was like, all I wanted was an apology and I would have dropped the charges. Was like,
It's also, watching this even baffles me more that him and Meredith end up dating.
Totally, yeah.
Like, how did Meredith ever get over that?
I don't know, and it's like, I feel like never brought up that was like such a big thing.
I also think it's not fair, like the only reason Alex's apology this time was more heartfelt was because he finally knew the full story because Joe was honest with him. And before that, he didn't know. And so he was confused. You know what I mean? Like he didn't know the full story of what was going on.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm glad it's done. I also think part of it was like, actually he'd already gone to the court when Arizona said that she missed Alex. So he's back and I don't know. That's all there is to that. I would say the one part of these two episodes, the only part that I really enjoyed was when Joe finds out he's not in jail and she goes to Meredith and they have like a real hug, which like, if you think about it, they have not interacted since like before all of this happened. And so that scene, it was weird that she just like walked away, but also like that felt, I got a little GGB about that scene.
I, for some reason, thought she was going to like hug him and then she was going to say, come home. Like, I thought.
Oh, I know. And then she didn't.
Yeah. So I thought she was just going to tell him to come home. I was like, oh, wow, they're back together. And that didn't take long at all. Like, now they're back together.
Pretty sure they
together.
Get married at, oh, I guess that's season 15. So.
Is it 15 but I think that next they season get married? Is, or 14?
What? I thought it was 15. Season finale of 15.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Do we have to do, like, a long back and forth with Alex and Joe?
No, but there's, I don't know, but I next season is when I think she goes back to, or she, her, how the whole thing with her ex-husband happens.
With Mr. Schuster?
Yeah, Mr. Schuster. Oh my God. Okay, so there's that. I don't do anything else on Alex, other than I was like, why is he in Meredith's bed? That was confusing to me, but whatever.
Oh yeah, where he was just like, okay, yeah, I guess can we briefly talk about how, number one, how many jails are in Seattle? And like, that's a legitimate, like, I don't know how many jails are, but I feel like she went to like 20.
She went to different counties though. Oh, it says there are 12 jails. Oh. And it says there are 12 jails and prisons in Seattle, Washington.
Oh, wow. Okay. So big city living, everyone.
Yeah. There's, I mean, the population is 688,000. So it's big.
Okay. So, why Alex? Like, this is so shitty of you to be like, charges are dropped. I'm tired and I'm not going to tell anyone. And I'm
right,
just going to go sleep
Meredith
in
left
my,
her-
yeah.
Sorry, just because Meredith also left him that voicemail. Like, why wouldn't you text her?
Yeah, literally. Like, we can text people. Like, but no, I'm just a little too tired that I'm going to go sleep in my best friend's bed all day long. And then I'll deal with telling them that I'm actually not in prison. Like, what the fuck, Alex?
I'm going to do that to you.
I would be so mad.
Sometime where you can't find me on a Saturday, you want to hang out with me and I'm not answering. And then you're going to go to bed at night and I'm going to be in your bed.
What are you
yeah,
doing
so
here?
Scary.
That's going to be dedication. I don't know. What are you just going to sleep all day? There's no way you could make a whole day laying in my bed. You wouldn't be able to handle it.
I don't know. I hate admitting this because I feel like the people of the world who can't get as much sleep as I do. And I already feel like in the future, if I have kids or something, like I'm gonna like, I just feel guilty doing this, but like I go to bed so early and then I like this right now because work is slow for me. It's like my 1-2 months where I like don't have a lot to do. I have been sleeping like 12 hours.
That's really great.
It is, but it feels excessive.
But you don't sleep like 12 hours during the day. Like you don't sleep 24 hours.
But what I'm saying is I think I could. Like today when I was in bed until quite a while and I was like, I could just stay here. Like I'm not ready to leave, but I'm like, and I didn't have anything to do, but I was like, I should make coffee.
See, that's the thing. That's the difference right there is you like, that's what I'm talking about. I don't think you could stay in bed all day. I think you would be like, I shouldn't do this. Like,
if it was for a prank, I could get you. Then I would have purpose.
All right. Oh, that's true. You would have a purpose, but I don't. I don't think you could like stay in bed all day and be like, you know what? I'm gonna watch TikToks and I'm gonna read books and I'm gonna like watch TV. I think you would be like, I really shouldn't do this. This is a total waste of the day.
I did watch a lot of TikToks this morning in bed.
Well, that's good. I'm glad. Next, tomorrow, well, you have an early morning tomorrow, Wednesday, see if you can stay in bed an extra 20 minutes.
I was in bed till 10 o'clock today.
That sounds great. I was like,
it was great.
Partially through my morning.
I know, that's what I mean. And I feel guilty about it when the rest of the world is doing things and I'm just being a lump. Even my dog didn't get me out of bed. He didn't even have to go pee.
Well, it's also really fucking cold outside right now.
I know.
And it's like straight up the best time to lay in bed is January, the month of sadness.
The first start the year out with a bang.
Yeah, just laying in bed.
Okay. Let's continue on to our last topic of the day before post-op, which is Maggie's mom.
Oh my God, I forgot we had this too.
Diane.
Yeah, what a doll she was.
Love her. I love her so much.
Yeah, I feel sad that Maggie was so mean to her. She's just coming in hot, like just being a mom.
I'm not a therapist, but it felt like Maggie was reverting very much to her inner child. Like even made that statement to her, like, I just want my mom. Like, she wants to go back in time to when her parents are together, and like, she just wants to be taken care of, and her mom is like entering her world and blah, blah, blah. And I just felt like, oh, she is not in a good place right now.
Yeah. I mean, it feels sad because, you know, like that, I mean, we could get into some deep therapy shit, but like, your parents are humans too. And they're more than just like your parents. They're like adults who have their own things and growth and whatever. And like, it felt like that of like, to Maggie, her mother's role is a mother, not like a sexual mm-hmm. being, not someone right. who, like, you know, desires like plastic surgery or someone fun who shows up like and makes lasagna or whatever. It's like her role should be how she's known her as her mom.
Yes. So, and I appreciated her mom standing up to her a little bit in that, although I don't think like leaving and going back to Hawaii without telling your daughter your diagnosis is smart. But like, I do feel like, I especially loved how the mom said like, and again, she's not my mom, so I feel like I can appreciate this, but if it was my mom, I'd be like, be my mom. But like, she's, you know, saying like, I am finally happy. Like I feel free, all of these things. And so it's just sad that in this time when she's feeling great, she also has this horrible diagnosis and her daughter is like not appreciating that. Also, I feel like Maggie didn't feel that bad when she left. She was just glad she was gone.
No, I totally agree. The one thing I will say is I think, like, to defend Maggie a little bit, like, I think I would be fucking pissed off if my mom showed up and was like, like, just took over. I'm trying to think, if I like lived at like my sister's house, my sister from another mother, you know, and I'm like trying to establish this life, and my mom just showed up and like invited herself to stay without talking to me about it, I would be very embarrassed. I would be like, you are like, this is not your home. So I think like, I can understand why Maggie was annoyed, but also I feel like, Maggie, maybe you should have like welcomed your mom into your life sooner. Like, Maggie tried so hard to like go and figure out her life with like Richard and Meredith. And then like, I know it's television, but whatever, I'm diving deep. But then like left her mom out of all of that. Like, I would feel really sad as her mom and want to be included in that.
That's good. And yeah, I think we have to dive deep or else we're going to have nothing to talk about this show. So I think I totally agree with you. And also love that her mom's making soap.
Also love that they ate lasagna out of a casserole dish in bed. That's going to be my new thing.
Yes, with popcorn. That was great to me too. That felt very like on brand for Alex, first of all. But it's sad too. I know her mom comes back, obviously, because I remember her being in Seattle, I'm pretty sure, when she passes. Mm-hmm. But I also, Jackson, so this is before Jackson and Maggie date, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. And Jackson, I think, is just such a great doctor, and like how he said that he would, you know, fly there for her and because it's Maggie Pierce's mom. And like, he was just so sensitive about everything. And the fact that he was willing to go to dinner to help be there for the like reveal of that is just really, he's a great guy. Yeah, love him.
And I love that he's like, I should probably go. Like, you can call me if you need me.
It's sad that she goes away, though, and then she's going to be sick, and then Maggie's going to feel so bad. And we all know how hard the death of her mom hits Maggie, because I'm pretty sure it's a long time that it's, like, being dealt with on the show, rightfully so.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she's going to feel super guilty. And that's going to fucking suck. Yeah,
so.
Great. Looking forward to that.
Love it. Can't wait. Just a reminder, because we didn't really fully explain it in the beginning, that if you are a patron, we have something called Post-Op, which is for the next 5 to 10 minutes after we call Time of Death, we continue to podcast about a certain topic. Today's is going to be about Minnick and, or no, right? No, it's about the car crash. Sorry. So while we didn't touch on that here, we will in Post-Op, and you can listen to that on Patreon.
Cool. Notes and trivia?
Go for it.
The episode's title originated from the song Jukebox Hero, originally sung by Foreigner.
The episode scored 8.49 million viewers.
Oh, y'all, we got a goof. When Dr. Weber and Dr. Minnick are discussing the OR board, it lists Dr. Shepard on a surgery, even though it had previously been stated that she would be out for a few days.
Wow, fire that intern that did that.
Seriously.
This episode's title originated from the song None of Your Business, originally sung by Salt-N-Pepa.
This episode scored 8.46 million viewers.
Are you laughing at me saying Salt-N-Pepa?
Yeah, I was.
What am I supposed to say? Salt-N-Pepa?
Salt-N-Pepa. Salt-N-Pepa.
I don't know.
It just like was so...
I'm very white.
No, it was just like very... Like, I'm making a point of like Peppa, like Salt-N-Pepa.
I didn't want to be like saying it's 50 Cent, like it's 50 Cent, Salt-N-Pepa. I hate myself.
Would have done the same thing, and that's why I didn't call it out, but I accidentally laughed. So
okay. I'm skipping all of these dates because no one cares, but this is the first episode of the series where Joe Wilson narrates the voiceover.
Oh, and... Katerina Scorsone has no lines in this episode. This is her 63rd appearance on Grey's Anatomy, surpassing her 62nd total appearance on Private Practice.
Wow. At this point, she's been on Grey's longer than Private Practice.
Like, wow.
That's kind of crazy. A deleted scene shows Nathan stitching up Owen's arm while Owen talks about Amelia running away. Nathan then points out Owen did the same after the war and after his father died, and that there was always someone who dragged him out of hiding. Wow. I wish that scene had been in there, because I feel like that... We forget that Owen literally ran away from his ex-wife or fiance.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then he sees her and Christina's there. And oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So he's not a good person.
No, I wish that scene had been in there. I feel like it would have been, it would have added to the story. So, okay. Rating the episode, right? That's what we do next.
That's what we do. Catherine Fox Award.
Okay, Catherine Fox Award. Even though I'm annoyed with how he went about things, I'm giving it to DeLuca for dropping the charges.
Okay, I'll agree with you. Oh, no, I'm going to throw in Jackson, because Jackson was really much there for, Diane, and he was looking good while doing it. So that's why I'm saying
that's
Jackson.
That's a good one. And then rating it, the only part that I enjoyed were the scenes with Jackson and Diane and the scene with Joe hugging Alex. So I'm really sorry, but I'm going to give it a 6 out of 10.
Whoa, I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10 because I didn't give a shit about these episodes.
I just thought it was not a good... Mid-season premieres are usually not that good, though, I feel like.
No,
like,
totally agree.
But it wasn't, so don't love it. So, all right, let us call Time of Death. Bree, I'm terrible at math, and your phone is in military time. Will you do it?
All right, so Time of Death. Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us. Time of Death is 2033.
Beep.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.